about now. Thank you. All these new technologies. Rick, thank you for that song. Rick came to our meeting the other day and asked what songs go with the teaching that I'm going to do today. And I said, well, really, I don't know, Rick. Just do what you do. And you did. That was great. Y'all do a great job when you rock and roll and when you calm it down. It's all good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that song fits in real well, and we'll see, I hope, how it does. A couple of things. Did everybody get caught up on their mowing yesterday? I did, and it was amazing. You know, they kept saying rain, 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 and thank you, Jody. And in between everything, I got caught up, so that was good. I know that some of you probably have rain gauges, and do you know how much rain we've had in the last week or so? Four and a half? Six? I know they were saying on the news it was five to seven, so there we are right there. And I got to say one more thing. Linda, I heard you laugh this morning, and we've missed that laugh. So thank you, and I know that y'all have had a big struggle, and it's about to go to a different, place now, going home, and I know Marnie's going to leave for a little while, and I assure you that if anyone can help in the church, we will. All you have to do is call, and you'll probably get many more people call you than you'll call us, but we'll be there for you and help you get through, and it's good to have you here, Linda. If you're visiting, and I have my reading glasses on, so I can't see if there's visitors or not. But if you're visiting, Joel, our pastor, is not here. He'll be gone 2 weeks, and David and I have the privilege of filling in, and we get to study, and I always enjoy bringing a message because I get to study the message, and that means a lot to me to do that. And so he'll be back in 3 weeks or so, and we decided while the cat was away, the mice would be warmer, so we've cut up the thermostat a little bit. I know no one's noticed how cold it's been in here.
Joel was listening, by the way.
Okay. But you're not wearing your coats and your scarves today, so We should be good. No offense, Joel. But so with that said, we'll move on. I hope nobody gets too hot. The topic that the Lord has told me to talk on today was a message that came out of Esther when we were studying that. And it's about fasting. And I don't mean losing weight. I mean to fast, what it means to fast. And, you know, I think in our Christian world, we do a great job of praying. We hear of praying all the time. And I think at Grace, we are a praying church. There's no doubt about it. But you very rarely hear about fasting. And as we have studied different scripture, and you'll see some of those that I'll go through today, as you see, as we've studied different scripture, we have talked about fasting in the scripture, but we haven't really concentrated on fasting itself. So it's a different topic, and we'll see where we go with it, where the Lord goes with it. Now, I, like many of you, have been in church a long time, and I can't remember ever hearing a sermon on fasting. And I think that over the generations, you know, as we'll see in Esther, and this is what pinpointed my study on fasting, is it was a part of their life. It was a part of what they did back then in the Old Testament. And we'll see some of that as we go through Scripture. And I think it's just that we're not acclimated now to fasting. Now, there may be some of you that fast. That may be a part of your life. And I can say it, you know, it's nothing that if we don't do it, we're this, or if we do do it, we're any different. But I think I want to recognize fasting today in that what fasting is. And as we know this, then I think we grow a little bit. You know, at Grace, we've tried to dig a foundation deep in learning the fundamentals of the Christian walk and the things that we should know. We tried to sink our roots deep in the knowledge of Christ. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And to use that to know Christ and biblical principles better. So praying we do well, but what about fasting? And what does it mean to fast? Now, typically when you talk about fasting, here's a definition of it. Fasting as we know it means a time of self-denial, a repentance of sin, and a drawing close to the Lord. That's what we see a lot of times when we look at the Scripture and see the stories. So self-denial, a repentance of sin, and a drawing close to the Lord. But there is more. As I opened up the Word and started studying this, then there's more to it than that. And that's what I want us to know when we finish today, what fasting entails. Now, you know, one thing I think that's hard in this day and time, we have so many distractions. And I'm not sure it's not different than in the biblical times of the Old Testament. We have so many distractions, so many what I call gizmos, things that take our attention that we don't have time to do the things sometime that we should do, draw close to the Lord. As that song talked about there, I'm amazed at how He cares for us. And then, you know, do we give that back? Do we take the time to give it back? Or are we doing our gizmos and we don't take time to be with the Lord? Do we take time to give the Lord back what He deserves of us? Because He's always there with us. It's said in Scriptures He's always there. And we'll read that a little later. Well, maybe we can change this. You know, maybe as we look at it, maybe it's someone here that would like to fast, would like to know more about fasting, would like to grow closer to the Lord. And maybe through this, maybe this is a start of something that may be fruitful for you for maybe the rest of your life. You know, Ed Miller said when he was here, don't just study a book or a chapter or a verse just to say you studied it. Study it to know what the Lord is saying to you. And a lot of times you will discover that the Lord is talking to you only. Well, when we studied Esther, you know, we went through the book of Esther and Joel did a great job. One thing stuck out to me more than anything as we were going through this. And there's a lot of good scripture and a great story here. But I want to show you what stuck out to me and where this study came from. I think Chris has our scripture for us, and I've got several scriptures, so I won't go through a lot of it in depth, but I just wanted to put it up so you could see it and write it down. You know, you may want to take notes and go back and look at this later. In Esther, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. This is the time when Mordecai had heard the proclamation that they were going to annihilate the Jews. And so he has come to Esther to ask her to go before the king. And Esther could have panicked. You know, Esther was a young girl. I mean, she probably came into this story when she was very young, 12, 15. We don't know, I don't think, for sure. But the maturity that she showed here just struck me in this story. And it started this study on fasting. It says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, then I will go to the king. Because going to the king could mean death for her. I think one thing that hit me was this young, immature girl, she was young, could say something like this. It just showed me that that was part of her upbringing. She knew about fasting and praying and knew the importance of it. You could tell that she had done this or heard of it before, and at this time in her life, this very important time of her life, she knew that it was time to stop and not take any actions on herself and go to the Lord in prayer and fasting. And I think that's where in our day and time we try to overcome and do our own way. We try to go about our own means of doing things, and that's not different from any of these scriptures you're going to see about fasting. They all tried to do their own way, and then in the end, once they stopped and prayed and fasted, then God gave them the answer. Let me give you a few examples of these. I'll go to Judges 20, 26 and 28. Now let me give you just a little background on this. The Israelites had already been in a couple of battles. They had gone to the Lord and said, "We're going to do this." The Lord said, "Okay, go ahead." The first time, 22,000 Israelites were killed. So they come back and say, "Okay, we're going to do this." God said, "Okay." 18,000 Israelites died. Now listen to what they do. Judges 20, 26 through 28. Then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel, and there they sat, weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there, with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to battle the Benjamin, our brother, or not?" The Lord responded, "Go. Tomorrow I will give them into your hands." So once they stopped and fasted and turned to the Lord, then it was the Lord's battle, not theirs. And I think that's part of the lesson for us, is to stop and go to the Lord and listen to Him and do it on His timing and not ours. One thing I wanted to mention as we go forward, in each of these verses, there are different parts of fasting. And I'll try to highlight those for you, but in the end, I will highlight them. So if you're writing down, write down weeping. That is a part of fasting. Weeping. Now we go to 1 Samuel 7, 5 through 11. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it before the Lord. At that day they fasted, and there they confessed. So part of fasting is confession. "We have sinned against the Lord," and Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us." So there's another part of fasting, crying out, "that He may rescue us from the hand of Israel." So at this time, before they went into battle again, then they were fasting and crying out to the Lord. Second Chronicles, let's go to it. Are we doing good, Chris? 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 3. This is Jehoshaphat, and we have studied this before. "At this, the Moabites and Ammonites and some of the Mennonites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And this was many armies coming together. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. And it is already at Hazan Tamar, that is, in Engadi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. So the first thing he did was proclaim a fast. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So again, if they turn to the Lord first, then things happen. As it goes down, it talks about, and you will hear and save us. They were talking to the Lord and knowing that if they fasted and turned to him, that he would save them. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. There's where we should always cast our eyes first. For the battle is not ours, but God's. So as we learn that lesson, that it's always God's battle, not ours, then as we turn and pray and fast, then the battle will be won. They fell down to worship as part of their fasting, so that's another part of fasting. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in him. And then as they were fasting and praying, they were singing and praising. That was part of their fasting, singing and praising. So we see it's not only a very limited thing that we do. We just fast and or don't eat or don't drink. It's many other aspects of that at the same time. Now I go to Ezra. This is 8:21-23. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey. This is a trip that was going to be taken, and they had told the king that they were in the province that they didn't need anyone to help them go through. They didn't need any guidance because the Lord was their guide. And so they fasted and humbled themselves. That's another part of fasting, so that they would have a safe journey. And when they fasted and petitioned God, then we read that he gave them a safe journey. You know, we think about cause and effect sometime, and we think, well, would they not have had a safe journey if they hadn't fasted and prayed? Well, that's what I read in the Word here, that they did it first. They turned to the Lord first, and when you don't, then other things happen. So it's something to ponder as we go through our lives. What should we do? Should we just go on with our plans no matter what? Or should we turn that over to the Lord first and see what he has us do? Now, Nehemiah 9:1-3. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. And that's one thing we read about a lot in the Old Testament. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. So another part of fasting is confessing our sins. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. So also as part of fasting is reading the Word, is being in the Word. And spend another quarter in confession. And that's what we've seen several times in different scripture. As part of fasting is definitely confession of sins. And in worshiping the Lord their God. Praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. So as a part of a fast is definitely to praise the Lord, to spend time in the Word, and to be with God. Now, one book that we studied, and we went over this part, is Jonah. And I wanted to zero in a little bit more on this, the part about when Jonah finally goes to Nineveh, and he tells the people that the Lord's going to destroy them if they don't change from their ways. So I want to read this on Jonah and just zero in on the fast and how the fast can be an individual thing. It can be something that one person does or two people do together. I know it's always sometimes better to do something with a friend or with someone. And I know fasting can be done that way. But it can be done with nations sometime. It can be that big. We know this story, but let me just read it again for you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it in a message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Remember, we talked about that. So it was a big area. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least. Now imagine that. If we declared a fast in here, how hard would that be? I mean, I think about the scale of this, and one man, Jonah, came, and they believed him. You know, in this world of, hate to say it, but the way they say it with news, it's good or bad, false or not, false or true. I'm not sure if someone came that we could do that. It amazes me, but that's the Lord's will in doing that. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation. By the decree, the king and his nobles, do not let any beast. Now, when we read this, I didn't really zero in on this at first. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently to God. Another part of fasting is calling urgently to God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Evidently, this was a very violent and evil place. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. And when I reread that, I thought, how hard would that be? Can you imagine that no person nor no animal would eat for 3 days? I mean, if you have dogs, if you have any kind of animal, then you know how hard that would be. I mean, you'd have to muzzle them or whatever to do that. That was a hard thing for Nineveh to do. But because they did that, then the Lord honored it and saved the people there. And again, I think, you know, that was a big city then. What would happen if this was to come upon us, to come upon our nation? Do you think we could do that? I'm not sure. It would only be through the Lord's way, but if we don't know and learn about these things, I'm not sure how we would react. But if we know about them, then I think we can react the Lord's way. Now, we read about a lot of this in the Old Testament, and we say, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. You know, that's you read about that and you see it. But there are several verses I want to bring to your attention that are in the New Testament. Matthew 6. (clears throat) 16 and 17. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So we see nations like Nineveh that fasted together. So it's a very open and public thing in times. But then here in Matthew, we see that it can also be between you and the Lord, of coming together and humbling yourself and getting before the Lord and taking the time to be with Him as He is always with us. So it can just personally be between you and the Lord. There's a verse that I found it in the King James, and while I was doing this study with the Grace Group, one of the persons pointed out that this was also in the King James Version, but it wasn't in my NIV. And this Matthew 17:21, is it up? Do you remember when the disciples, they were sent out two by two, and they could heal, they were healing people, they were casting out demons, they were doing all kind of things, but there was one, when Jesus came back, there was one demon that they couldn't cast out. And they came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do this? We've done all these other things in your name, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So it made me think, you know, they had all this power that Jesus had given them, just as we do. He gives us power to do many things through the Christian walk. But I think about sometime, are there things we're missing because we're not doing some other things like fasting? I don't know. I just ponder those things and I bring them to you, and it's something that we can think about. Should we fast more? Should we pray more? Of course we should. But in this world, we can say, well, we just don't have time. And I think that's one of the things I want you to think about and ponder on this fasting, is taking time to be with the Lord. Do we need more time to do that? I think we would all say yes. I would. I need more time. Something I always say, I need more time, but I need to take that time. There's also just a couple more examples in Acts. These are just a couple more examples in the New Testament. And there are others, but I want to read Acts 13:1-3. It says, in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which they have been called. There are times that as we fast and as we pray, that we will draw closer to the Lord, and He will allow us to do things. You know, in Ephesians, one of my favorite verses is, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But we have to be in a walk with Jesus to know what those works are. We have to be listening. He may have works for us to do, but if we're not praying and fasting and growing closer to the Lord, then we may miss those works. So just think about that. Just ponder, is it good for me? Do I need to do something more, or am I okay? Fasting is many things to God. Should we give Him our time to fast and to pray? Here are some of the words I wanted you to pick up as we looked at this today. Fasting, as we described, is self-denial, repentance of sin, and drawing close to the Lord. But here is more. Weeping, as we draw close, we realize who we are and what we've done. Our weeping, confession, crying out. Many times as you get close to the Lord, you're going to cry out because He's going to elicit that in you. Surrender. Sing and praise. You know, we think about singing and praising, but that can be a very important part of fasting. Worship. Humbling. I think that's one thing as we fast, we humble ourselves because we know our God is so great. Self-confession again. Calling urgently. A lot of times in these scripture where people, it was a hard time and it was going to be a hard time. And a lot of times we see they did it out of, they had to do it. But how much better would it be if we did it because we wanted to do it? It can be private. Fasting can be very open. It can be a whole city. It can be the city of Susa. It can be Nineveh. It can be everyone, beast and everyone. But it can be very private too between you and God. So these things describe a fast. Is it for us? Is it for you? Is it for Grace Community Church? I don't know. But I think it is. I think God has used us and He uses His people throughout time no differently than He did back then. We look a lot of time at Old Testament and we think, well, that's the way it was back then. But I don't think it's any different than it is now. Not to Him. As I close today, I'm going to do the parting words now. We usually do that at the end, but I wanted you to see this Psalm 33, 11 through 15. And if you would you read it with me? But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. And I wanted to read that scripture because it tells us so truly that God is always thinking of us. Always. But if we admit it, are we always thinking of God? I'll admit it myself. Through a busy day, that may be the case with me, that I may not be thinking of God. I try to do it as much as I can, just as you. But He's always thinking of us, always with us. And you've heard this many times. He's always there. You're the one that leaves Him. He's always there whenever you go back. So I just bring this message to you today so it makes you think. Can you draw closer to the Lord in what you do? Whether it's praying or fasting, talking to Him during the day, whatever it would be, I just ask that you ponder that and think about that as we go forward. It's a principle that you may can do on your own. We may do as a group. I can tell you, if you want to fast and don't know how to do it, you can talk to me. Talk to one of us here, an elder or Joel. We'd love to do something with you there if you're led to do that. Open your heart and open your mind and see what happens. But let it be a part of something you think about as we go forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for You're always there with us. You're always there. And as we look forward, may we just know that this topic of fasting is not something that is foreign to us. It's something that we know about, that we have learned about, and maybe it's something for us. Maybe it's something that would open our minds and hearts as we look towards You and would let us spend more time with You, because this takes time, fasting and relying on You and not on anything else. This total dependence on You. And Lord, as we've learned in the scripture here, You love us to have total dependence on You. we rely on the world and we rely on many things in the world that have no consequence at all. But we rely on you. Help us to learn more, Lord, of how to rely on you, how to be with you, how to give back to you what you give to us. You know, Jerry mentioned the stroller episode. That wasn't coincidence. God, you were there. You're always there. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to draw nearer to you and give us the courage that if we want to do something, if we want to fast or we want to draw near to you, that we'll have the courage to do that. And now maybe we know just a little more about what fasting is and what it means. That as we open our minds and open our hearts, that we may be able to do these things with you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. In Christ's name, amen.